Focused worship is as important as focused preaching. That's our key sentence for today's SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, welcoming you to our podcast for today. We're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. David, you hear a lot of preaching. Which would you say is more common? Sermons with three parts or sermons with one point?
Well, I don't have any question in my mind how to answer that. The sermons that are three-point sermons are winning the day yet. I just had an interesting experience with a person who in some ways has become a student, kind of an unofficial student, but somebody who asks questions about sermons and relates and wants to know my opinion and such. This person preached a very, very good three-point sermon, and I listened and I was asked to evaluate. The text was Hebrews 12, which is a very familiar passage. Therefore, since we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore, and then the sermon had three parts. Let us therefore throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That was point one, so putting aside sin. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So it was get rid of the hindrances or sin. Let us run with perseverance so we don't tire in what we're doing. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and so on. So the third point was fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, if you ask, are those points in the text? The answer to that is they're obviously right in the text. And this person handled them very well, said, let's talk about putting aside the hindrances, the sin. Let's talk about perseverance. I can still remember the illustrations that were used because this person happened to be a jogger and knew in terms of you get tired after a while and you got to persevere. How do you do that? And then last of all, fix your eyes on Jesus. And there was a wonderful illustration that was used in terms of that, which I won't go into, but deeply moved me, almost brought me to tears. And the person said, you know, what did you think? And I said, as far as what you said, as far as how all the pieces fit together, as far as whether the Lord spoke through it, all of those are A+, if I can be crass and give a grade to it. I said, the problem was, in my mind, it's the exact thing you were talking about, Dean. There were three points, and all three of them were so huge that you're overwhelmed by it. You're overwhelmed by how do I put aside sin? How do I keep working when it gets tiring and I'm just, you know, my muscles are sore and all that? And how do I fix my eyes on Jesus, which are three different points? Granted, they are all related, they are all textual, but at the same time, there's only so much you can absorb. And there were illustrations each time, plus application each time, and it was all done within the time frame and everything. So as far as I was concerned, this was a phenomenal sermon. I was moved by it. The Lord spoke to me through it. The Lord spoke to the people. You could tell that. I had a guest with me, and the guest was profoundly moved, who was a brand new Christian. All these were working together, but in one sense, it didn't work because it was too much. And your question was, what's winning the day, 1 point or 3 points? And if that person who preached that sermon could have preached three sermons, tied the text together in three sermons, they could have dealt with how do you throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That would have been a sermon. And it would have started people down a certain journey. Then how do you run with perseverance the race that's set before you? And then the third part was, how do you fix your eyes on Jesus, which is a whole new subject in itself. So basically, what was here was a three-point sermon actually hurt because it was way too much to cover and they were distinct ideas in themselves. It had been just a one-point sermon and then the following week a one-point sermon, the following week a one-point sermon. So unfortunately, the 3 points still wins the day. That given passage, there are many passages like that where you have 3 points. They come from the same section of Scripture, but they in reality take you in three different directions.
I started by asking about preaching, but the subject I really wanted to talk about was worship. Is worship best when it covers several aspects of God's nature or just one?
Well, you asked me best. If you said which is winning the day, when the worship jumps around or when it's one focus in terms of worship, and I'll tell you what's winning the day, it's when it jumps all around. You know, you're praising God that he's love and then you're that he's faithful and that he is all wise or maybe all powerful or whatever. And it's harder for the mind to grasp that as you jump from one to another. Now, it is true that there are a lot of hymns that do that. They jump right all around the place as far as just the text of the hymn is concerned. And it's all worship of God. My personal feeling is that if I were working with the person who preached the sermon from Hebrews, and I said, okay, the first sermon, it's about putting aside sin, these hindrances, what would we praise God for? And I think you'd come up with a simple answer, like you'd probably praise God that he's holy. Then if you say the second part is the perseverance, let us run with perseverance. Don't give up too easily. What do we pray for? Or what do we praise God for? By praising God, what do we say to God? This is what we like about you. This is what we find great comfort in. Well, I'd say pick a theme such as God is faithful. And if you come to the last part of keeping your eyes on Jesus, fix your eyes on him. What would we praise God for that Sunday when you're talking about fixing your eyes on Jesus? Maybe you praise Jesus as our great example, whatever. But again, you're going in three different directions from those texts. And my personal feeling is that focused worship, where you choose one, it's just like you say one thing, well, let's in our worship focus on one aspect of what we know God to be, and that's easier for people to absorb, for them to get involved in. And I'm not just talking about the singing, I'm talking about the prayer that is a part of worship. I'm talking maybe about scripture reading, which is reading back to God scriptures about himself, being holy or being faithful or being an example. How much time do you have for worship? You got maybe 20 minutes in the average church service. And if you divide that up into different aspects, you're coming to a place where people can't jump through the hoops that fast. So if you say, this morning we're praising God that he's holy, that's going to make sense to us when you hear the sermon that will come later. But this is what we're focusing on. And there are wonderful songs that have been written about that. It's a scary theme in some way, but it's a wonderful theme in some way. In fact, when we hear the prayer time, we're going to say, we're glad, God, that you are holy. If you weren't holy, and then I'm going to ask you to fill in, what would happen in this world if God were not holy? What if he sinned just a little bit? What if he didn't always tell the truth and that was a problem of his, you know? So you're able to be much more helpful to the people, in my mind, when you have a single focus. I think that's true all through life, but your question is a good question, and my response is keep it simple. Keep it focused on what you know God to be, and that will be a great enhancement to your people. And I've seen that over the years in terms of my own ministry, where they will feed back to you. You know the morning we praise God that he is faithful. You know the morning we praise God that he knows all things and that he knows us and knows our own weaknesses, but not just mine, yours as well, and so on. They remember those much more because you had enough time to develop the theme and truly explore it and see its great value for what is going on in terms of our lives.
What I hear you saying is that a carefully coordinated worship service allows that worship service to be focused. Really, what you're doing is the way that you construct the sermon with a clear subject, a well-understood response, how-tos to help the people actually respond, giving them some time frame with the how long, a key sentence that includes the subject and response, you can then develop a worship service that will be very tightly focused and will actually draw people toward what you're communicating from God's word in the sermon.
I've seen very few focused worship times. I've seen some wonderful worship times as an observer, either in the media or participating. Again, are you scatter shooting or are you focused? And another thing is, are those two things connected? What's being said from the preach word compared with what's being said through the focus of worship time? In fact, some of the best worship I've found is when the sermon was early on in the service, and then everybody understanding what the sermon was saying, they went to worship then and had the 20 minutes of worship or 25 minutes of worship or 30 minutes of worship, all focused on a given theme, and that was incredibly powerful. Yes, so I'm voting against the three-part sermon. I'm voting against the three or multiple-part worship aspect as well. I like the single focus thing.
Focused worship is as important as focused preaching. Thank you for joining us for this time together. You've found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources to help pastors create effective life-transforming sermons, life-transforming services, and life-transforming churches. And we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.